We are continuing our Shiurim in the Thought of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and we're talking today about what is undoubtedly an incredibly important topic. It's one that's important for the Machshava and to appreciate a little bit for who Rav Moshe was. More than that, I think he just says fascinating and incredibly important things about educating and inspiring others, about the Avoda of Chinuch. Rav Moshe, this was a topic he spoke about a lot. I spoke about a topic that in his tshuvas, he's a bunch of different tshuvas about Inyanei Chinuch. And in his drashas, in Drash Moshe, he has a lot of the pieces have like a vort and then end with a Musar Haskel, something relevant about how to educate, how to inspire other people, how to bring them closer, and how things really should go. I want to divide up the shiur. There's a lot to talk about. There are a couple people that even wrote some good articles or some good pieces on Rav Moshe and Chinuch. There's a lot here to talk about. I want to try my best to divide it into a couple of different sections. I want to start by noting what is a unique challenge that Rav Moshe was aware of in his time, which is undoubtedly, l'da'ati, true as well in our time. We're then going to speak about what the goal is of Chinuch for Rav Moshe, what are we trying to accomplish, and then we're going to speak about the methodology, how exactly you do it. How does it look like? How am I going to be able to impact others? I think this is important even l'maisa for many of us hopefully all of us in our life will be zocha to be mechanchim on some level, be it in our homes, communities, or in a more formal classroom and the like. But many of us this summer already are going to be in positions where we're going to be in some sort of a chinuch type position. And therefore, it's important that we be aware of some of these things. So let's start like this. With Moshe's writing, Moshe's functioning primarily when he writes about chinuch in America. And if Moshe's aware of the fact that America presents a variety of certain challenges. Now, Rav Moshe's own relationship to America, we'll speak about hopefully in a future week, Rav Moshe on America, that I think is an important topic. But from a chinuch perspective, Rav Moshe appears to be aware of a couple of things. Number one, the children in his time, not the children that he was aware of, you know, growing up in Europe, kids have changed a bit, and in many ways because society has changed a bit. 1960s, 1970s in America are a time where, you know, elements that arayos can be rampant. It's a time where if Moshe writes in America as a whole, there's this incredible value he writes in Tshuvas and Yerodea Gimel Ayin Aleph, where Moshe calls good time, where there's this idea that there's a taiva gedola lehanos olam hazeh b'chol ta'anugim shekorin lazeh good time shegam zeh davar hamikalkel asa adam. Says Rav Moshe, there's an emphasis that wasn't there in Europe so much, and this is an important thing to appreciate, on leisure time, on having a good time. And there is, from Rav Moshe's perspective, a certain desire. People have taivas, and the taivas are very, very powerful. And for Rav Moshe, that means that educating people in that kind of a context is going to be more challenging. Because what's rampant in the world, says Rav Moshe, in different places, is a certain kind of heresy or kfira, that it's not so simple to assume at all that people are just going to be able to, you know, ride the wave and end up being entirely frum, dedicated, and the way they should be. Rav Moshe also thinks that in America there is on some level a shortage, on some level, of almost role models or certainly top-tier Tamidei Chachamim, because there are people, Rav Moshe says, that even those who are like quote-unquote on some level like Higiyah Lo Ra aren't really Higiyah Lo Ra. They're not really people who are on a certain kind of Madrega. Is that okay? I like that. Are on a certain kind of a Madrega. So that is in and of itself something which is important as far as background. Rav Moshe at the same time, though, thinks that people in all times are capable of a certain kind of Kedusha. That people at all times, we're going to say over some, we'll share some vorts in Chumash, some from different parshios in Bereishis. We'll speak hopefully today. Rav Moshe has a vort in Parshas Behar, which is very important, and something related to Shavuos, which is also very important. Hopefully we'll have the opportunity to speak about in this context. Rav Moshe points out a vort in Parshas Vayetze, where Moshe says, you know, Yaakov Avinu vayifka b'makom, that Yaakov Avinu is going, he's leaving Shem Ve'Aver's house, he's leaving Yitzchak's house, and he's going towards Lavan. He's leaving a place that was all Kedusha, and he's going to a place that is anything but. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Chulin that Yaakov vayifka b'makom is like a kfitas haderech. Yaakov just meets a place of Kedusha, and if Moshe tries to point out from here that on some level Yaakov was undoubtedly questioning on his way out of Yitzhak's home, on his way from Yeshiva Shem Ve'Aver, he's saying, I'm going to meet Lavan right now. How can a person be a frum Jew by Lavan? He doesn't know he's going to be the person of Im Lavan Garti V'Tarik Mitzvah Shamarti. How exactly am I going to be able to do it? So the message that Hashem gave him was, Shamakom HaKadosh Balakan, that sometimes, even if we're not in the best place, the place can sort of come to us. That Hara Moriah, on some level, can move towards us, and that in a certain sense, Kedusha is something which can be anywhere, and the Ribbono Shel Olam can reveal himself in any location. And a person should never think, V'zeh limud gadol lebal yisya'i sha'adam lomar, shebedor hazeh uvemakum hazeh, kasha lahasek shlemos ustapek b'muat. Says Rav Moshe, don't make the mistake of assuming that just because things are more challenging in certain locations and in certain times, that there's more of a pull towards taiva, and the external surroundings sometimes present more of a challenge. It doesn't mean they're not great things about the external surroundings also, but it means that in a certain sense they do undoubtedly present certain challenges. Don't, as a result, such as Moshe, make the mistake of thinking that therefore we should just lower our standards. That if it's harder, so just be satisfied with less. That's not appropriate, such as Moshe. El gambioso po, I love lahasik kol shlemos yos baki b'torah v'chein b'maisim tovim. The standards stay the same, albeit more challenging. But says Rav Moshe, that's how things really have to go. One of the things that Rav Moshe is going to argue, though, is that the chinuch in America may have to be a little bit different. And that's true, I think, for, you know, those of us who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's true for this generation as a whole. The chinuch may have to be a little bit different. We'll speak about what that means in a second. But one of the things for Rav Moshe means that the role of the yeshiva becomes very, very important. We spoke a couple of years ago in this slot about Rav Huttner on Rebbe Talmud relationships and the purpose of a yeshiva. For Rav Moshe, yeshiva becomes incredibly, incredibly important. Rav Moshe, this is true even halach lemaisa, in Yerideya based Kuf Tesvav, Rav Moshe Teshuva, where he was asked, what should a community build? It was a community of Brunswick, or I guess New Brunswick, I don't know, Brunswick, New Jersey, where the Shiloh was, is it better for them to build a mikvah or build a yeshiva? What would be more appropriate for them to build? So Rav Moshe goes back in different directions, but one of the things that Rav Moshe says, you know, we can't, all else being equal, you know, you're talking that you have to appreciate the chashivas of a yeshiva. The yeshiva is something which plays such a critical role, such a critical role. So Moshe, which I'm Yisroel, the Kolshkin, and Yishtadlof, Yisatka, Yisatik, Kodem, Bedavar, Yeshiva. You have to emphasize that the importance of yeshiva is to be Medina Zo, Hatzala, Mikfira, Umikol, Isurin, Shebetora. That there's so much going on. If you don't have a yeshiva, if you're sending kids to public schools or things like that, it's so incredibly challenging. Lo rak al elu hayadim el gam l'doros habayim. Gam l'doros habayim. So it's something which Rav Moshe thinks that a person has to appreciate the chashivas of a yeshiva. And again, he's not denying at all that America does wonderful things. He's talking about certain unique challenges that may come up. And you see this even in some of the tshuvas that Rav Moshe has. Can you be machnes? This is in Yerideya, in Eben Ezra, in I think Yerideya, Gimel, Ayin Zion, Gimel. You have a person, a woman, a Jewish woman who's living with a non-Jew and wants to send kids to yeshiva. Do we take or not? Some of these are powerful questions about how you're going to manage yeshiva. Rav Moshe is dealing with a lot of questions because of the unique nature of what's going on. But the first step to realize for Rav Moshe, it is really, really hard. It may have always been hard on some level, but it's very hard when you're trying to do something which is in many ways countercultural. When you're trying to do something against what's the nature of this, the tide and how you're going to be able to cover it. So that's something which is a challenge. So that's number one, is appreciating some of the challenge. But for Rav Moshe, not to make the mistake of because that's Rav Moshe there in Parshas Vayetzeh, not making the mistake of because it's a greater challenge that means that we have to lower our standards. We can still have high standards. We just have to think about developing a game plan of how we're going to be successful. Sof Maisa b'machshava tchila. If we want to know how to educate, we have to be clear on what our goal is. So what's our goal in chinuch? What are we trying to accomplish? Without knowing goals, we can't really do it. If any of you take ever classes in education and you develop a curriculum, that is what it's called, and this is how all people do it if you're just thoughtful. When you develop, it's understanding by design, I believe is what it's called. If you want to teach a class, I'll give you as an example. If you're teaching Gemara to people who are Shanabet and Yeshivat Shalavim, the way you're supposed to do it is like this. You start by saying, what do I want all the guys in this room to walk out with at the end of the year? Work backwards. What do I want them to know at the end of the year? The question before that, this is again somewhat simplistic. The question before that, so what does the test have to look like? I want them, if I want to know they're going to know certain things, so what does the test have to look like in order for me to know that I've accomplished those goals? Okay. How am I going to teach them then to be able to do well on that test so that I'll know I've accomplished my goals? We always start from the end. L'mashal, no one builds a house by just starting to build and to see how it's going to end up. You always build a house by, this is the final product I want. And then let's step backwards from what are the components to be able to get to that point. That's true for chinuch also. What are my goals, and then what do I have to do then, therefore, to be able to get there? The idea of just like, I'm just going to teach Torah, so that's great if your only goal is people in the room hearing Torah be taught. But if your goal is different, we have to be very thoughtful about how exactly we're going to be able to do it. So what's the goal? Here's where Moshe starts with a, we're going to develop a couple of different ideas, but the first is as follows. Rav Moshe thinks, and this is clear in a couple of different places. Let me see if I can get a line from it now. Rav Moshe is very clear that that information is a goal. Information is not, is lav dafka, the primary goal. That when you want to, what the job of a mechanech now, this, here we're speaking a little bit about more children than people who are already, let's say, b'nei yeshiva and very committed. But for Rav Moshe, one of the starting points, we're not, it's not about giving over information. You know, there's a line in chinuch, you know, the teacher may have taught, but did the student learn? And the student learning is obviously more critical. But even if the student's learning information, lav dafka, is that the only way to go? There was a certain kind of kfiya, of just giving over information, which Rav Moshe thinks is not what it's all about. And it's not, it's part of it, we got to build. And that, he points out, is a vort in Parshas Behar, in the way beginning of this week's Parsha. It's one that he has both in his Parish and Chumash, as well as Nigrish Moshe, Yerdei, Gimel, Ayin, Aleph there. Moshe asked a very simple question that many of the Mepharshim are bothered with. Torah tells us that we were taught Dinim of Shemitah Behar Sinai. The Dinim of Shemitah were taught at Har Sinai. Asked Rashi a very, very famous question, Ma Inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. Why exactly are you teaching us that the Dinim of Shemitah were given over at Sinai? What is the importance of that? I have to rest every seventh year. I can't work the land. Why is it important to emphasize? So Rashi says to teach us that just as the dinim of Shemitah were given over, their kolam and pratim, their rules and their details, the general rules and the specific details are given over to Har Sinai, so too all mitzvos were given over, the general rules, specific details were given over at Har Sinai. Don't make the mistake of assuming it wasn't at Har Sinai, it was all really at Har Sinai. That's what Rashi writes. Rav Moshe asked a question that many of us, I'm sure, are familiar with, which is, why teach us that idea that all Torah, Kolam and Pratim, were given at Har Sinai through the mitzvah of Shemitah? There are a lot of mitzvahs, 613. Why did Shemitah win that's the way that we're going to teach you that everything was given over to Har Sinai? Teach it about Dinei Erchin. Teach it about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, maybe. Teach it about why Shemitah, why is that something which I have to teach these halachas not in the context of Shemitah? So if Moshe writes as follows. The din of Shemitah had to come from the Ribono Shel Olam. No one else could have made up Shemitah because Shemitah involves, in a certain sense, a promise. The promise is that even though you're not working the land, don't worry, it's going to be okay. There's going to be enough food for you. You're going to be able to sustain yourself. That could be in a Shemitah Yovel time, 2, 3, 4 years where I don't have normal produce, but the Ribono Shel Olam can come along and make that kind of a promise. What's clear about Shemitah is something which had to be commanded by the Ribono Shel Olam. Shemitah is something which had to be there in a certain sense because it's a mitzvah that it's clear it strengthens our emunah also. Now the Siman, Chaznish speak about whether Bizman Hazev, that bracha still applies for Kesh Baruch Hu taking care of us. But there's something there, such as Moshe, there's an emunah that's given over through the mitzvah of Shemitah that Moshe says is unparalleled. And that is why Shemitah, in a certain sense, serves as the model, as the paradigm from which we learn all of the mitzvahs. Just like Shemitah undoubtedly comes from Ribono Shel Olam, so do all other mitzvos. And for Moshe, one of our goals is that people do mitzvos out of a sense, out of a recognition, not as they do it out of rote, but a real clear understanding that the Ribono Shel Olam gave this to us. A real clear focus that these things stem, they are mitzvos, and let's talk about emunah. And let's be clear about emunah being something which is real, says Rav Moshe. And that's an important step. So information, yes, but giving over emunah, all the more so critical. Rav Moshe in Parshas Kedoshim, it's not only that, but it's performing mitzvahs, says Rav Moshe, out of a sense of Kedusha. The more Kedusha you have, the more mitzvahs you have. Kohanim have more Kedusha, and therefore they have more mitzvahs. We have to perform mitzvahs out of a sense of Kedusha. For Rav Moshe, if chinuch means just you learned a lot of Torah, and you're mekayim a lot of mitzvos, but you yourself don't do it, there's really no emunah at all. And if you're doing it, says Rav Moshe, out of a lack of appreciation or any awareness that there's kedusha here, there is holiness predicated and built into what is going on, If you're missing all of that, says Rav Moshe, you're missing something very, very fundamental. Very fundamental. So the goal of chinuch is to get people to that point. The challenge is, and this is Moshe's aware, in a culture of leisure, in a culture of taiva, in a culture where, just in the secular world, that there's a lot of, America is still, compared to other countries, more religious. It's much less religious than it was in the time of Moshe, I believe. But it's still, there's so much just different approaches out there that are not in line with Torah values. So to give over that becomes very, very hard. So how do we give it over? So we know the challenge and we know the goal. But for Moshe, part of the question is how exactly are we going to be able to give this over? So let's talk about a bunch of different things. I'll have a little bit of a rant for a second. There's like three tiers of people when they give advice, I think. This is not an important thing to know, but this is it's a theory, but I think this is true. One category of reckless person gives the exact same advice to every single person. This is what you have to do. Every single person should start dating at this age. That's when everyone should do it. You want to love learning? This is the only way that you can do it. That's one category of sort of like reckless of reckless chinuch and reckless advice giving. Some people know that's reckless, which leads them to stage two. Stage two is what you'll find sometimes at a question and answer session, which is undoubtedly incredibly unhelpful. Every question is answered with, how can I answer that question? Every person is different and every person is unique. Chanuch l'nar al pi darko. And therefore, whenever you get a question, you're unable to say anything unless it's like, I have to speak individually. And it's hard to, and that person can't give over messages of any meaning to a larger group because everything is just, you know, each person on some level is really unique. The good Balei Eitza, Ladati, the good Balei Eitza are able to do two things. Number one is they recognize that all people are unique, but they can also extract certain principles and certain ideals that all people can hear and are relevant to all people. So the individual details of what each specific person should do, Chanuch l'nar al pi darko, or Moshe writes in Parshas Truma, that chinuch, when you're building a bias, the Mishkan, we have to listen exactly to Hashem for Hashem Shechina, there were certain specific details of halacha. But when you're building your own bias, every home may look a little bit different. There isn't one track towards building the perfect home. But, I'm going to say this, because kids are different, parents are different, places are different, times are different, but it doesn't mean that there can't be good underlying yesodos that are able to impact the way that people are going to be able to hear things, that I can have underlying principles that are going to be able to give us some insight. How l'maisa should we be mechanech? So I get to a certain goal. I want them to be mekayim Torah mitzvos out of a sense of emunah, out of a sense of kedusha. I want them to have a certain hierarchy of values. But how do I do it? And part of the challenge is, so how can I get principles that on the one hand are equally relevant to people without glossing over the fact that people have unique differences? As an aside, I think it's an important thing when you're looking for people to give eitzah. The greats are able to do that. The greats are able to do that. The really reckless people are in category number one, which is everyone do the exact same thing. The people who are a little bit less helpful, but at least not reckless, say, how could I know? Like, I have to sit down and talk to you for a long time. And sometimes they will, sometimes they won't sit down and talk with you for a long time. And then there's the third category, people that can still give over ideas. They can give a talk about how to raise children. They can give a talk about what dating is like or marriage in a way which is not just each person on their own, nor is it the, if you buy flowers every Friday, it's going to be awesome. I don't know, maybe it's like a little more complicated than that. Maybe. I don't know. My money's not a bit more complicated than that, and that's that. So how do you do it? So with Moshe, we got to start with a couple of different things. One or two of these are things that we quoted in the past, but some of these ideas are legitimately important. Number one, and this is very, very hard, and it's the Yisod of Rav Moshe for Mechanchem, it's the Yisod of Rav Moshe for parents, and we'll speak about it first as far as Mechanchem, and then as far as parents goes. Rav Moshe, Parshas Amor. Avodas Hashem and the world of Chinuch sometimes is hard. It sometimes is hard. And we would be lying if we made it seem like it's never challenging. But, Mizeh Yesh Lomo Kol Mis'askim B'chinuch Uvelimit HaTorah Asher Vada Yadua L'chol Kama Dvarim Kashim Me'od. Chinuch is legitimately hard. It's hard. Mitzat etzem hatamidim, mitzat halimudim, rabbi panim gam mitzat ha'horim. There are a lot of challenges. Mikol makom tzarech kol echvayim lekabel bi'ava uvisimcha k'mosh lever noach v'kal v'rak mitzat godol inyan she'osa. V'meino dever kal lefan of yosetov so yasuk b'china ke'ena roi lezeh. You got to make things look enjoyable and look somewhat easy. You can't have everything look too hard. If you want to positively impact others, you got to have it look like it's enjoyable. Got to have it look like it's easy. You can't have it look like you're breaking as a result. If you are, again, all of my jokes, not, you know, aside for a second. I'll try to be fixed at something right now. I happen to love my job, and I happen to love the opportunity to teach Torah. If the people in the room felt like, I really don't enjoy it that much, I don't enjoy my interactions with you, if they felt like I don't enjoy the content of what I'm teaching, if they felt like it's all just hard and I do have a sense of obligation, but it's not something which I enjoy at all, it's something which they're getting a very, very bad message. They're getting a very bad message. A little bit more than that for Rav Moshe. Teachers also, and this is true for parents as well, it requires a consistent kind of focus. Rav Moshe and Chubas does not love the idea of Sundays off. He doesn't love the every national holiday you get off. What our Chorev Zman looks like, albeit maybe a little bit, you know, maybe too much. Rav Moshe doesn't love all the breaks and things like that. And Chinuch demands a certain consistent kind of focus. We all, Michael Eisenberg, when he spoke this year, Shaul showed us something which was actually very, very nice. The Sod was important, although the application, you know, to the context he spoke about, you know, maybe one could challenge. If you remember the context. He spoke about how there are different kinds of mechanchim in your life, and these many of us are aware of. Those who are all in and those who aren't all in. For Moshe, the only way to be mechanich is if you're all in. There's no such thing otherwise. The only way to be mechanich is if you're really all in. It's a very important observation. It's one that sometimes a person can experience. For most, I have to be all in, but it has to be all in with a way that, like, I'm really happy, and there's something pleasant about this, and I enjoy the learning and things like that. Rav Moshe, they quote from Rav Moshe, I don't think it's in Chuvah, I don't know if it's in print anywhere. It's in an article about Rav Moshe. I don't know if it's if he wrote this ever. But Rav Moshe spoke about the mistake that certain parents made. Shmirah Shabbos was incredibly challenging in the time of, in America, 20th century, especially early to, you know, mid-20th century. To keep Shabbos is very hard. Many of us, I'm sure, were brought up on stories of people that, you know, would work and lose their job every Shabbos because if you didn't work on Saturday, it wasn't going to happen. Sunday was the off day, as the people in Bergen County can still confirm. And there were certain challenges when it comes to keeping Shabbos. And the phrase of, you know, I won't say the Yiddish, because Yiddish is weak, but, you know, it's too hard to be a Jew. It's hard to be a Jew, and they're nisyonos. And it's good sacrifice, but we're sacrificing nisyonos, nisyonos, nisyonos. Such as Moshe, children don't want to hear about how things are all nisyonos. They don't want to hear about how things are all challenging. They want to hear about how things are pleasant. Such as Moshe, the way you should talk about it, the Gemara tells us that your mizonos, your parnasa, is established from Rosh Hashanah, and it's established no matter what, and we have a chiyuv to do our hishtadlus. And therefore, it's a pleasure to be able to take off Shabbos. It's a pleasure to miss because my mizonos and my parnasa are going to be established no matter what. And when we make it sound, says Rav Moshe, the incredible nisayon and all the sacrifices, kids don't want to sign up for incredible sacrifices. They want to sign up for that which is pleasant and enjoyable. They want to sign up for pleasure. They want to sign up for that which is great. It's like, to say it in a bit of a different way, the Or Chaim HaKadosh tells us over, it's a shavuos kind of idea, it's been spoken about a lot. We'll shift to shavuos now. You know, that Or Chaim says that, you know, if the Umos HaOlam knew just how enjoyable it was to engage in Talmud Torah, Torah mitzvot v'chulei. They knew the pleasure of Torah. They would all right away come convert and want to be and totally connect to it because that pleasure is so great. Speak about it as far as pleasure, not to speak about it as far as the Sayon. I have to be very fond of a line. They say based on that, it's a cute one. There was someone Firefield, the Rashiva of Shar Yashav, used to joke that if the Umos HaOlam, forget Talmud Torah, the Umos HaOlam knew the geshmak of thinking there's tachan on Monday, Thursday, then realizing it's canceled, they would also all convert because that feeling is unparalleled. So that's something which is, first of all, like, it is an unbelievable feeling, and it's great when you have, like, a giant of Rashi that, like, confirms, like, you know, like, it's okay. So then, you know, that's like, I went to Roden, so I quoted it, Ram Gon holds that, you say tachan on Purim. So I think he had, like, he's some sort of a joke about how, like, listen, it can still be a yantif, like, without, even with tachanan. Like, theoretically, it's possible to overcome that. And the guy in the crowd, it was, like, in a shul somewhere, and the guy in the crowd was, like, I'm not sure that's true. Like, it was, like, totally, like, how could it, like, part of like a din and yantif is the lack of tahara. You know, like that's part of what generates like the happiness. But the feeling of positivity for Rav Moshe, the feeling of positivity is something which is incredibly, incredibly chashev. To be able to give that, to be able to give that over, that we got to be able to. That's one. That's one. So Rav Moshe thought that when people come home and complain about Shabbos all the time, it's the wrong message. Positivity, and don't speak too much. Don't speak too much about Nisyonos. For Rav Moshe, a couple other things. Rav Moshe writes there in source number 16. Rav Moshe writes that we also have to learn not to give up. We have to learn not to give up. The fact that we want to have high standards doesn't mean that if I see it's not working, I should just stop. Says Rav Moshe, you really can't give up. Rav Moshe, with one exception, we'll speak about in a second. Rav Moshe thinks, like, all else being equal, like, you can't throw kids out of school. And you can't say, listen, I've tried, and what could I do? You really got to be there and to continually work and have a certain kind of avoda. That is something which Rav Moshe says, a person really has to be able to. A person really has to be able to do. It's something which sometimes there's a mistake people make when they think that there's like no toelis at all. Rav Moshe, teach people, engage in kiruv, teach people who are not at the highest madrega. Teach people who are coming from difficult homes. Rav Moshe thinks, you know, what would happen if you have an isha that says that she wants to come to school, but he's not willing, she doesn't want her kid to wear tzitzis or something like that. So Rav Moshe thinks, we'll speak about why in a second. But as long as the kid is willing, they're willing to have the kid wear tzitzit while in school, even if not out of school, take the kid to school and give it your best shot. These are Jewish souls, and for Rav Moshe, aside from the positivity and the lack of emphasis of Nisayon, part of what we want to do is the attitude in teaching to never really give up, to always really be there for them and to invest in a certain way. It's like a very beautiful maisa they say about Rav Steinman, when someone came to Rav Steinman and said, can I throw this certain kid out of school? This is what he did, and Rav Steinman responds with, well, what's the kid's name and the mother's name? And the Rebbe says, I don't know. And Rav says, well, how are you going to throw him at it? Shimon, how are you throw him at it if you don't even know, like, you don't have to dom for the kid yet? Like, how is that even possible? I'll tell you an unbelievable maisa. The maisa is, like, literally unbelievable. Elements of the maisa are not really my style, but I'll tell it to you because it's awesome. I heard this years ago at a vod Rav Finkelman gave from Or Chaim. It's a maisa thing Rav Avram Shore told over about just this idea, just to clarify for a second, of the not giving up and really davening sometimes. For people as part of your avoda. They say in Maisa over, I believe there was a Rav in L.A. I don't know if it's Maisa over in a long time. There was a Rav in L.A., a first grade Rebbe in L.A., I think it's how I told Maisa over, who went to the principal and said, there's a kid in my class, I think he's not Jewish. Principal said, how do you know he's not Jewish? He said, I'm telling you he's not Jewish. How do you know? So the first grade Melamed said, you know this or no? The first thing, I don't know if the story's true, but it's an awesome one. First grade Melamed said, because whenever I have a kid in my class that is legitimately struggling, I sit down and I say all of Sefer Tehillim for that kid. I sit down and I daven, I say all of Sefer Tehillim for that kid, and I've been doing that for years. This is the first time that I've ever done it, and the kid hasn't improved. I'm kosher, she's not Jewish. They checked the kachava. Now, what's the moral of that story? I'm not entirely clear, but what other than the kedusha of a Jew, what we'll take out of that story on some level, that's kedusha of a Jew is the moral of that story, but what we'll take out of that story is also that mechanchim, you can't. We got to invest a little bit. We got to be willing to invest and not to assume that it's something which is that. And also for Moshe, it's everyone's achrayas. Moshe thinks that he thinks a person should give up a maaser of their time. He thinks a person, even when they're learning, should be able to give up and to give over for others. Rav Moshe, as part of chinuch, though, is very opposed to a couple of other things. He's very into the fact that you have to be a representative yourself, a dugma ishit. You have to be a person who is there as setting a certain kind of tone and setting a certain kind of example. He doesn't say Rosh Gadol, I don't know why. But Rav Moshe does think that you have to be to set a certain kind of tone. And there are a couple things that Rav Moshe is very, very nervous about. And one of the things that Rav Moshe, in a couple of tshuvas, emphasizes in the context of schools is the primacy of values and MS and Lashon Hara and the way that we behave with a certain kind of integrity. Rav Moshe, in a very, very famous tshuva, one of the more famous mikoros about cheating on tests and the like, Rav Moshe responds to, it's in, none of you have the sheets, I'm not even sure why it matters, where I'll have it to be, it's in Choshen Mishpat Beis Lamed, it's verse number 15 on my sheets. where there were students that they say in yeshivas were stealing the answers to the regions exams. The regions are government given tests in New York State. Many of us, or at least some of us in the room, have taken them, I imagine. And there were yeshiva students that were stealing them. The Shiloh, what's Rav Moshe? What do we think about this? Or there was a shmua that there were yeshiva students stealing them. And Rav Moshe goes nuts about this. It's Aser al Tzina Milchus Adina, Geneva's Das. Rav Moshe holds it's Aser al Tzina actual Geneva, because you're getting a job as a result of your better grades, and the cheating is something which is wrong. And for Rav Moshe, there has to be an openness to a certain kind of integrity and a certain kind of honesty. Rav Moshe writes, even in Shuvas, that even while it's true that Rav Moshe spoke about positivity, there are times where punishments are appropriate. But for Rav Moshe, you can only do it when you have, like, a yediyah brura, the kid deserves the punishment. We never punish if we're not entirely 100% sure that's the case. He points out, the way Chazal work, if we don't have real edim there, real birur, we're not going to pass on a shayla, even if the shayla is about a pruta, if it's about a nickel. We're not going to pass him without good information. We're not going to punish, you know, otherwise. We want to model a certain kind of integrity and a certain kind of honesty. That's true because it's us there. Otherwise, it's also true because you're giving over certain kinds of values. Rav Moshe has a lot of truth about the details of chinuch, one of the ones which is a little bit more well-known in a certain sense. Rav Moshe thinks that you really, and other posts argue with this, but Rav Moshe thinks you can't ask kids to, like, rat out their friends, that you're being mechanich them in a certain way to be lax in their commitment to Lashon Hara. For Rav Moshe, that's because all things are educational opportunities. And not to make the mistake, it's one of the main yesodos, I think, in Rav Moshe and chinuch, is don't make the mistake of believing that just because you teach a certain thing, that if the way I interact with them looks very different, you will undermine all of your values. That is something which is a very, very important yesod in chinuch in general. You could speak about the chashivas of brachos all day long, but if push comes to shove, they see you not making brachas, you will undermine anything you say about the chashivas of brachas. Moshe says it's a different way with a medical professional. A medical professional who is not living up to every piece of advice they give, you may still listen, because that's important. Not, when it comes to Torah, you are so much connected and representative of Torah that if you yourself are not doing those things, you're going to lose, you know, a whole lot of it. So honesty and integrity, and what happens outside the formal class time, you're talking to a kid, and don't encourage a kid privately to tell you, so who really cheated on the test, because Rav Moshe maintains, and you can question this al dini lashon hara and as far as the chinuch piece, but for Rav Moshe, part of it is, what are the messages that you're giving over when you do so? But it is about making things sweet. It is about keeping things to whatever extent as positive as a person possibly can. For Rav Moshe also, let's speak about the individuality. So positivity, Rav Moshe thinks as follows. In Europe, it's not so. It could be that the kfiyah would work better. The positivity may have been less critical in certain doros. You could get away with it more, you could force them into it, but our generation doesn't work that way. Our generation has to be sweet and good. Doesn't mean you can never punish. That's a mistake that people make in the opposite extreme of, like, let me just keep on being positive, positive, positive. I remember once, I had a neighbor once who's like, I remember, like, their kid was like, how do I say this in a way which is, like, appropriate? The kid right now is very sweet. The kid was like a terror, I think. Vildish is the word you would use. Sometimes you need Yiddish to describe, like, kids like this. It's like Vildish. And, like, it was because, like, I remember the father telling me, because, like, the parents held, like, they should never, like, basically, like, that's never have boundaries with our kids. Let them do whatever they want to do and, like, whatever. And the father opened up to me, schmoozing, saying that, like, it's hard for him because of the fact that he has this approach to his kids of, like, never really wanting to, like, tell them, like, you can't do this or whatever, that, like, basically none of that, his, I think, brother or sister, like, was not willing to have their kids play with his kid because his kid was, like, violent and his kid was just, like, a terrible whatever. So on the one hand, it is somewhat sad. On the other hand, like, well, it's his fault. You know, like, you have to be able to establish certain kinds of boundaries. And, like, this is not a case of a child who, Rahman Allah, is on a special needs or certain behavioral disorder. We're like, that's a different question of sensitivity. It is a question of just, like, we have to be able to have certain boundaries. Positive chinuch does not mean you can't have boundaries. People thrive within certain boundaries. But it does mean, and boundaries are very, very healthy for kids to have a certain kind of structure. The mashal that I'm very, very fond of, give it in there of Kuxiyam a couple times, I'll give it here, which is the mashal I heard from a therapist. It's an amazing mashal. That if you have in Tel Aviv, apparently there are at times rooftop parties. Happens in other places also. Eino dome at the rooftop party when there's no fence around that rooftop, when there is a fence around that rooftop. When there's no fence around that rooftop, it's not that much fun because people are just, you know what to do. You never know. I don't want to fall off the roof, God forbid. When there's a fence around, people feel much safer, and that's true in many ways in our own lives also. When we have clear boundaries, we're creating the context for people to be able to thrive. When it's a game that has rules, it's so much more fun than a game with no rules at all, which has lots of fighting, lots of frustrations. We're not doing anyone a favor when there's no structure at all. There has to be structure, that Moshe is not saying. That has to be positive, and things like that. That is something which is very, very important. I want to be able to just to chazer and end with a yisod of Moshe developed about the mitzvah of Bikurim, and one that I will extend to Shavuos in a way which I think is very, very important. Moshe is talking a lot about the how you educate and inspire. Moshe, number one, is not delusional at all about the incredible challenge that is involved in this. Number two, Rav Moshe thinks that we have to have strong goals, and the goal is Torah mitzvos, mitoch emunah, mitoch kedusha, from a real positive sense of shaychus and kesher to the world of Torah and mitzvos. How do we do it? We do it by staying positive. We do it with honesty and integrity. We do it with focus and with being all in. We do it by not complaining, but by making it seem like it is something that is very, very enjoyable. And we also do it, says Rav Moshe, by never giving up. I should just note, the only time Rav Moshe thinks you can throw kids out of school is when they are going to negatively impact others. If they're going to have a negative impact on others, then Rav Moshe says, I've got to draw a line somewhere, not because I don't care about that kid, but rather because there are other kids at play also. But other than that, there really can't be yayish. That's something which is very, very important. Rav Moshe suggests a very beautiful mahalach. It's in his Perush al Torah in Parshas Bereishis. And it's a yisod which is very, very important for Shavuos. Shavuos is the Chag of Matan Torah. But in Chazal, Shavuos is also Chag HaBikurim. Chag HaBikurim. I'm going to ask a question Moshe doesn't ask, but we'll use him to answer that question, which is why is it that Chag HaBikurim and Chag Matan Torah are the same yantif? Chag HaBikurim are that your first fruits that grow, I have to go and bring them to Yerushalayim and bring them to the Kohen. Is it just coincidental the regalim all have agricultural components, or is there something about Bikurim that somehow connects to the Yisod of Shavuos? That's a question that I would just ask and frame that question. And we'll note, again, we'll suggest an answer based on an insight of Rav Moshe's that is very, very beautiful. Chazal tell us, and many of us may know this Chazal, Bereishis is, there are many things that Bishvil this, the Torah is created. Bishvil this, the world is created. Bishvil Torah, Shenikris Reishis, the world's created. For Torah, the world's created. The world's created Bishvil Yisrael. Chazal tell us in what is not the most famous Maimer Chazal of those Bishvils, but Bishvil Bikurim, Shnikris Reishis, the world is created for the mitzvah of Bikurim. Now, years ago, we had Shiurim and Bikurim and Kaitzman. I'm a fan of Maseches Bikurim. It's a beautiful mitzvah. The world is created for Bikurim. What exactly does that mean? Why would that be that the world is created for that purpose? On my sheet, if I end up giving the math to you, it is source number 8. Why is the world created for Bikurim? So Moshe offers the following insight, and it's a golden yesod in the world of Chinuch. Moshe points out as follows. What are Bikurim? Bikurim are my first fruits that I come along and I give a Kohen in Yerushalayim. From the Kohen's perspective, I'm giving it to the Kohen. It's Manos Kehuna. When I give it to the Kohen, from his perspective, does a Kohen know the difference if it's my first fruits or it's not my first fruits? Absolutely not. There's no way he knows the quality of the fruit per se, whether it's my first, second, or middle. How would he know that it's one over the other? So it's very easy for me to probably just, but for me, I totally know the difference. Because if I've been working my land for a while, when those first fruits come, I am so happy. I want to taste for the first time those fruits. I want to be able to take them, bring them to my home. Ribono Shalom, I'll give you your stuff, but let me, I worked so hard, just connect a little bit. And the Kohen's not going to know anyway. The Kohen's going to have no insight whether it's the first or the second. So why can't I just give him the second and take the first for me? Why is it so chashiv? That's what I give to Ribono Shalom. My says of Moshe the following, I think, very, very simple idea. The reason why Bnei Yisrael give the first fruits, the reason why we gave the first fruits, Bizman, the mitzvah of Bikurim, was Shayach, nowadays we don't have it, but Bizman, the time that Bikurim was Shayach, the reason why we gave the first fruits, there's no Mr. Tevel with Bikurim, other than one line in Zorakia. There's no Mr. Tevel in Bikurim. It's Mutter even with it. So why am I giving Bikurim? Why is that the first thing that I'm giving over? Says Rav Moshe the following. Chavivas. In terms of your taivas, undoubtedly most of us for taivas would rather take the first fruits, physical tithes. Says Rav Moshe, we live in a world in a certain sense where physical tithes are paramount. A person can have tons of money, and they have all they want, but the tithe is just to have more and more and more. And the mitzvah of Bikurim is not a mitzvah of sacrifice, the way I would say it, a little different. It's not a mitzvah of sacrifice, that even though you want it, you give it to the Kohen, it's that it's actually more chavit for you. It's actually a greater sense of chavivas. It's a greater sweetness when you take it and fulfill a mitzvah with it than when you take it and eat it yourself. It says with Moshe, the reason Klai Shalit Hu Mitam Shuzem Mare Chavivas HaMitzvah Al Yisrael. Ki Belo Chavivas HaMitzvah, you couldn't pull it off. The reason why we give Bikurim is that even though I worked so hard and even though maybe I want a little bit, it's greater for me. I'm more excited and more passionate to give the Kohen. The Kohen's never going to know, but you know what? I know. I took my first fruits and I gave it to a Kohen. Such Chavivas there. That's the kind of Chavivas that Moshe, Chazal say, Bishvil Bikurim. Nikras Rashis, the world's going to be great. That kind of Chavivas HaMitzvah, not to perform mitzvahs, but to do it with the sense of emunah, Moshe spoke about it. We live in Parsh Bahar. With the sense of passion, with the sense of excitement, with the sense of Chavivas. That Torah is created for that. I would suggest that's why it's not coincidental that Shavuos is both Chag Matan Torah and the Chag of Bikurim. Because Bikurim highlight in many ways what Torah is really, what we want Torah to be about. Bikurim is the mitzvah that highlights and shows the extent to which we have chavivas for Torah and mitzvot. We love this stuff. We're passionate about it. It's awesome. And when Torah is given over, that's what Torah is supposed to be also. Torah is supposed to be sweet. It's not coincidental that minhag from the times of the Rishonim, to put honey on osios, honey on letters, to be able to taste them, that Torah should be sweet. Baharevna, there's a sweetness in Torah. And Bikurim shows us that when we got Torah and mitzvos, it's supposed to be sweet. It's not supposed to be the kind of nisayon. There are different mehalchim at different stages. To have boundaries, we got to be able to have boundaries. But to have positivity and to believe that I should never give up, and in all generations, at all times, for all people, the standards can always be there. Yaakov Avinu could be with Lavan, v'tarnik mitzvos shamarti. You can keep it wherever you are, and to be able to give over that message. One of the mistakes people make sometimes is mechanchem. It's like a classic like year in Israel mistake. Classic chinuch year in Israel mistake is when you speak about like a guy going back to America, and you speak about it as if like there's, but like there you're not going to be able to be as successful. Like there, it's about like maintaining what you got here. Those phrases are like so incredibly destructive on so many levels. But one of them is, it's not not being true. It's something which is so hurtful and harmful. Promotion, all, start wherever a person is. If you could do it in the hands of Lavan, you could do it in the wonderful opportunities that we have in various places. If you could do it there and to give over that message that you believe in people, wherever they are, they can be successful. Wherever they are, they can do it. And to make it positive and to make it enjoyable is something which is great. That's a line there of Shach about, you know, we'll say it the way they say it over, even though it's not, you know, like, the absence of singing Zemiris at the Shabbos table can you know, what, for anything, my son went off the Derech, in whatever way he went off the Derech, says of Shach, because, you know, I didn't sing Zemiris at the Shabbos table. Part of what's there is, it's not a didn't sing, it's not like a chi of sing Zemiris at the Shabbos table, like, oh, now your kid's going to stay in the Derech. It's trying to convey a certain idea of positivity, of things are enjoyable and things are great, albeit with certain boundaries. You got to demand a little bit. You have to be demanding. You can be demanding in a way that's positive, not to complain about it, but speak about how that taiva is nothing compared to the excitement of Torah and mitzvos. It's just nothing at all, nowhere near as exciting. And for Moshe, those are some of the keys, how I educate and how I'm able to inspire other shkayakas. Have a wonderful